Read it together. Dear Lord, I come before thee as an empty vessel. Open my ears that I might hear. Open my eyes that I might see. Open my mind that I might understand. Open my heart that I may receive your word. We have been dealing with the thought taken out of James chapter 1, verse 12. I want to quickly go back to that one verse. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to lay out the two major bullets that you should already have in your notes. I'm not going to deal with all of the middle information. I want to complete or get as close to ending today. So I hope you got it. James chapter 1, verse 12. The text simply reads, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." We are talking about stand your ground. And I don't want you to lose the issue on that thought now. Don't lose it. I'm telling you to stand your ground when you're wrong. We're talking about standing your ground in your relationship with the Lord, knowing that God's going to see you through. Okay? We've already laid down the setting of the text, giving you all the necessary information that James here is emphasizing the issue of perseverance, learning how to stay under pressure and be blessed. And so I told you that there were three major things that James lays out in the text. You should already have two in your notes. The very first one is that I said the person who endures is blessed. The person who endures is blessed. Then secondly, the person who endures is approved. Okay? On last Sunday, we stopped off at an explanation of a passage of scripture under the heading of the second bullet that I'd given you. And that is, I stopped as we were approaching the discussion of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. And it's in that passage of scripture that I wanted you to understand that Paul gives us three things about what is necessary and needed for us as vessels to be used by the Lord. Okay? In other words, he's going to tell us that if we're going to stand our ground, if you don't focus on your circumstance, you can recognize that God will take that situation and use you as a vessel that not only will he bless you, but you will be a blessing to others. And evidence of that is found in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. Okay? Listen to what Paul says. Paul says, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." Three things right quick in that one verse. Three things. The very first thing that Paul emphasizes as it relates to this idea of character for service. That means that when things happen, we don't think that that is the moment God can use you to be a blessing. Because we think that when things go wrong, we got to step out of line. Yeah. I'm teaching you, if you stay positioned properly, God can use you for service. Okay? The first thing that stands out in that text is separation. I want you to write it down. One word, separation. In the text, Paul uses the word honor. Should be in your Bibles if you have the New King James Version. It means God wants his servants to be honorable in their character. So that means that when you remain under pressure, when you are going through something, God is literally developing your character. You're not doing much when you love folk that love you. But you're doing a whole lot when you can love people that don't love you back. See, we love that idea of loving, and we'll tell everybody, I just love all y'all. That's good. But can you love your enemy? Can you literally love the person who is digging ditches in your life and you are stumbling and falling? So Paul here wants us to recognize the need and the importance of our character being honorable to the Lord. So now this idea that Paul mentions in the text about character means behavior on display that demonstrates God's values and lessons in our lives. I can't demonstrate anything if I'm not under something. Got me? We really miss the essence of love. Most Christians think the idea of love is when you're around other folk that are loving to you. But you are not doing nothing but exchanging. But can you be who you supposed to be around people that you know on your job don't like you? And let me stop saying on the job. Folk in your family. Now that ought to wake you up, because everybody in here got some cousins and some relatives. And this is where we do it. They're distant. So Christians must maintain godly characteristics under adversity. Yeah. Got me? If you don't know how to hang in there, how to stand your ground, you will never grow. Okay? Listen to this. The reason why is because God builds character in the disappointments of life. You got me? He is at his best when you are catching hell. Yeah, yeah. Because the true test of who you are is what you do under pressure. Right. Am I making sense? Yeah. Most of us fall apart. Right. Either we skip city, turn a deaf ear, or we don't want to have no dealings with it. Second thing in the text, he moves from the issue of the idea of being dependent on the Lord dealing with separation. Notice now it has to do with choosing. Watch the text. Paul uses the word sanctified. Do y'all see it in the verse? If you go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, the word sanctified, it means to be set apart. Okay? You are set apart. You are deliberately placed where you are for a purpose. It has reference to being chosen. And you got to be very careful with this, because I look back over my life as a pastor and I had a whole lot to tell God. I didn't understand why God would send me to hellish, unconcerned folk caught up in college and degrees and sororities and fraternities. I'm not against any of that. Please, and don't walk away or listen to this on Facebook and say I'm not against any of those things. Here's what I'm against: is when those things take top priority. I want all our young folk, get as much as you possibly can in life. But whatever you get, you use it. Don't you ever let it use you. Oh boy, y'all looking at me like, sanctify simply means set apart for God's exclusive use. And God cannot use you when you like to hide under the shadow. And I know you're looking at me like, for real? No, he cannot use you. You must recognize you are usable when you handle pressure properly. That's why some folk, really, you need to be very careful before you even think to say, I love you. Because the very person you may love to death may not line up with your concept. In fact, I think a whole lot of folk confused on love. We love to be loved. That's the wrong reason. You got to love and know how to love and don't get love back. Boy, y'all. Third thing. He moves from separation to that of choosing, which is the idea of the word sanctify. And then he talks about now, let me focus on the capability of service. And it goes back to separation. Listen to the statement. He says, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. I want you to write down one word, and that word is useful. Useful, which means easy to make use of. Usable. The word itself means to be equipped. And we got a problem as believers becoming equipped because we have an agenda that doesn't line up with what the Lord is saying. You are not doing God a favor just by showing up at church. That'll be our prayer. I was at church. You ought to be here because you see a need to be here. Out of your relationship with God. Am I making any sense? When you say you're in love with somebody, you love that person unconditionally. Anybody can give something when you're getting something in return. But it's hard to give, and there are moments you say, now they don't quite treat me the way I treat. No, well then you need to keep what you got. All right, the third and final thing, I want you to look now, this is the major bullet. Very first one I said was that you must be what? Blessed. The person who what? Endures is what? Blessed. Number two, the person who endures is what? Approved. Number three, and the final one, the person who endures receives a crown of life. Right there in the text, receives a what? Crown of life. Listen to what James says. I'm all the way back now to James chapter 1 verse 12. Listen to what James says. He will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. All right. The issue in the text centers on the word crown. So write it down. That's the key. But I need you to recognize that from a biblical perspective, the word crown literally comes from two Greek words. Okay? I'm not going to spend my time trying to identify or even pronounce. You ain't going to see them, but you need to understand the concept that biblically there are two categories for crowns. Now, don't take away what I didn't say. I didn't say that the Bible does not talk about a number of crowns. I am trying to deal with the category of the two crowns. One category that is translated crown comes from a Greek word where we get the word diadem. D-I-A-D-E-M. Okay? That's one Greek word, English term, that comes from the first concept? Well, it refers here to that of a blue ribbon. And the concept is marked from that of a person using to tie on a turban. Yeah. Yeah. Something you don't see much. Back in the day, they did the issue of the turbans or tiara. Yeah. Okay? Now listen to this good. It was a kingly ornament. Uh-huh. Got me?
Right.
It was more of a kingly ornament for the head, so therefore it signified a sense of royalty. So one crown is in connection with royalty. Am I making any sense to anybody in here? There is a second concept of the term crown that takes us to Paul's writings concerning athletics. Okay? The Olympics. Got me? And that centers around the person who participated as a runner. And that person was crowned as to the one who crossed the finish line first. Boy, I hope y'all getting this. Then, the person who threw disc, they will hurl the disc. Whoever threw it at a distance received crown. The individual who wrestled and pinned their opponent down received a crown. So you had all of these various categories. But the term falls under those two headings. One from that of royalty and one from the concept of Paul's writings as it relates to athletics. Now, when we talk about what James has reference to, James here is referring to that of the victor's crown. So just like in athletics, the person had competed and came out on top, that's what's expected of us as believers. Got me? We are competing, not necessarily against each other.
Right.
I hope y'all getting this now. But we have an obligation to render service. So we are not running, we are not wrestling, we are not fighting or boxing because we don't do those things against each other. But if they're in the area of athletics, that's fine. But from a spiritual perspective, every believer is obligated to render service. So in the text, James closes his argument by challenging us. So just like after the Greek games, they would announce winners. And that person would receive. I need you to understand something. There's going to come a day that we got to stand before our Maker, and every good deed, everything you've done, even when you did it and the rascals didn't say thank you. When you did something out of love, out of the obligation, following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. See, a whole lot of folk do stuff, but they want to be recognized. You got to call my name out because I need you to know I brought you that plate on Thanksgiving Day. I'm not talking to you. Because see, there is no crown for competing for recognition. Oh, boy. The crown that James is talking about tells us we have an obligation that when we are under pressure Anybody can serve. And this is where I told y'all something long time back, and I guarantee the average person sitting in the pew missed it. Brother Shelley brought it up the other Sunday. Talked about how put chairs down for folk coming all up in the church. Choir stand packed. Wall to wall Negroes up in the house. I never got excited. Because I can tell you, see, some of this stuff I'm going to teach in clothes on, you ain't going to like. Because I realized some folk had, they were not here based on the Lord. They were here based on personality. I don't even want you here based on me. No less the personality of folk on the pew with you. Because that tells me when they die, you die. When they leave, you leave. But when you are here out of your relationship with the Lord, let me clear the air. Couple of folk, Pastor, I think what you going to do about even my kids? What you going to do about the choir? I'm going to tell you what I was doing. I was searching to see how many folk were interested in being here for some teaching so you can better sing than to sing and don't have nothing to do with no teaching. Now I got enough. And I'm going to tell you up front, when that time comes, don't call a Negro that didn't show up when we didn't have no singing on. I don't need your voice. I know y'all quiet, but I'm trying to tell you. It's a new day. And if you ain't learned nothing else, I told you when COVID hit, it's time to get right with God. I guarantee you, if I said choir right now, next Sunday, be packed. But I don't need you. Why? I'm trying to teach so you can better stand and sing. But the church is caught up. I just don't think that's right. You know, well, that's your problem. You ain't the leader. God didn't call you. Boy, y'all sitting up here, pull your pistol out and shoot me. I'm trying to show us that God is looking at us now. And it's time out for foolishness. It's time out for just being here. You ought to be here for a purpose. And that purpose ought to be to enrich your relationship. So James. So you ought to receive a crown of life. But before I let you go, let me clear the air. The Bible has a lot of crowns. It talks about, scripture lays out a number of crowns. But you got to understand the terminology of the writers of those books all relate back to a major crown. So what I want to close out on is to talk about just a couple of them. And I need you to put them down in your notes. The very first one that I want to close on is the crown of self-control. I know y'all ain't never heard of that one, have you? I want you to listen now to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. Listen to Paul. Paul says, and everyone, going back to the games, who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. But we for an imperishable crown. Paul takes the issue of competing. It's an example. He mentally wants us to transfer the issue of athletics and twist it over to that of that which is spiritual. So in order to do that, there are three quick things I want you to see in this verse. The very first one is an example in racing. Listen to what he says. He puts the requirement on the table. He says, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. if you're going to be successful in life, you got to know how to master things. Walk around, we telling folks, I'm holy, sanctified, Holy Ghost Spirit, tongue-tied, baptized with the fire and the Holy Ghost. And the moment somebody lies on you, you stop coming to church. I'm just going through some. Sit down and shut your mouth. You ain't going through anything. The best time to do that which is right is when you're catching hell. I ain't understood it yet. How people, and I can see it. See them, I'm pastor, and it ain't nothing but guilt. Holding up the line in Walmart. Let me go and pay for this. Can I meet you right over there? I need to talk to you for a minute. Then you get over there. Let me tell you. I ain't been to church. I only hear that sad story. I'm not trying to be funny. I don't need to hear that. Why? You at Walmart, fool. And I know y'all sitting there going, well, what that? Yes, it does. Because if you got the ability to go out there, you got the ability to come here. I'm sorry. I have grown to that point. I don't want to hear it. Don't confess to me. Talk to him. Listen to this. Many Christians today are lazy or inactive about their Christian life. We could never compete. Let me tell you why. We got attitudinal problems. Ain't no difference, and I know I'm going to get in trouble for it, and I don't need no phone calls or no texts. But just like the big fight with LeBron James and that fella, ain't no different to folk in church. Ain't no different. Difference is they were fighting on the court, we fight in the church. Yeah. Poor y'all don't have to say amen. I know, I'm dealing with it. James says we got to have self-control. See, you never allow anybody to take control of you. I don't care who that person is. Don't even do it on your job. And what amazes me is that y'all think because we are a little bit older or older, however, that we don't have no experience. And y'all can't tell me nothing about a hellish person or somebody on the job doing you wrong. Been there. But I also told you I got up early in the morning with some oil to go in the office and go downstairs and anoint my boss's door and plead the blood. Boy, y'all looking at me strange. I mean, I walked up and down that hall. Wasn't nobody in there but me and the janitor. Yeah. And I said, if you tell it, I know where it came from. Yeah. And God switched and changed things around, but you got to submit. Yeah. Okay. So we need what? Self-control. Self what? Control. Don't stop. They made me do. Now, ain't nobody made you do nothing. You chose to curse that person out. You have to decide. All of us been there. I told you, and it happened just as easy the other day. I was in the car, and another person, I must have a magnet about old people creeping in front of me. It's got to be, because this old coon pulled right out in front of me and was just creeping, and I got a grip of myself. Yeah. Y'all would be very proud I didn't lose it. I said to my wife, I said, oh, my goodness. But I lowered my voice. I'm going to tell you why. See, it's hard to teach something if you are not going to submit to what you're doing. So I had to catch myself. I wouldn't hit the horn because I'd give that old man a heart attack. You know, but I did that. The point that I'm trying to get you to understand is that James says that we got to have a spirit of self-control. Yeah. So if you ain't got self-control, how you going to handle leadership? I'm hoping y'all vote for me. No, stop. Can you handle pressure? Anybody can serve on a decorative table. You ain't doing nothing. You looking pretty. You're around other things. It's pretty. But can you handle the heat in the kitchen while you being cooked on the stove? That's the issue. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. And sometimes God will not elevate you because you got attitudinal issues. I've been praying about that new position. You ain't going to get it. Why? You can't handle the sucker right next to you at the desk. How are you going to supervise 25 people? Second thing. Second crown. Not only is there a crown of self-control, but there is a crown of righteousness. Crown of righteousness. Listen to Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Just one more crown. He says, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Once again, I need you to understand, Paul returns back to his athletic concept. That's what he's talking to us about. Notice now, depending upon your translation, if you got the New King James Version, he starts it off with finally. In some translations, it's therefore. One word. And that one word is about cause of the reward, which means you got to back up and look at what gave birth to that text. So you don't have nothing to worry about, because when you die, only way I could explain it is like this. He won't let you ease back and restart your service. The day death shows up, you got to accept what you have not done is too late. Am I making sense? Well, Lord, I would have served, but they don't like me. That's like Jesus hanging on the cross saying, well, look, Father, I ain't ready to die yet until I get full cooperation with everybody. That ain't going to happen. You have to have a crown of what? Righteousness. Paul knew that in his spirit, he could say, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. You know where the problem is with us? There are no fighters. We'll fight each other, but we ain't gonna fight the enemy. Every time you turn around, it's a killing. It's a shooting. It's a stabbing. It's always some kind of big to do. And don't own diddly. We got a problem, a serious issue on the table. And you can't point the finger. It's on us. Don't listen to nobody. Got all the answers. Snappy at the attitude. And we talking in life application. Why is it that the young folks, so and so, if they showed up in here, we'll turn our nose up. I just think it's a sin that he come in the door and I could tell he was wearing Fruit of the Looms. At least he got on draws. The point is, you got to deal with people where they are. That's the problem with the church. So many of us haven't been dealt with, so we fake and phony. We look holy, act holy, talk holy, got Bibles. Part of ministries, but don't know the Lord. Oh, I'm going to be out y'all's hair, but I'm going to take my time and end it. Paul says to us that we must certify the reward. Listen to what he says, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. I got something I got to tell y'all. Y'all can't vote on who going to get and who ain't going to get. That's enough to make you shout. Because everything we do is centered on what party you belong to. And go out to vote. But I got news for you. You can't call a meeting and vote nobody on what kind of crown they're going to get when they get called home. Keep your vote to yourself. Yeah. If you don't know him personally, you ain't going to receive nothing. Right. All right. Oh, boy. The righteous judge will judge righteously to those who have been rejected. You ain't got to worry about whether you're going to be treated right when God finished with you. Just do right. Payday! You ever given your best to somebody and they didn't appreciate it? Don't worry about it. Payday! Payday, church, is coming up the wall. All you got to do is serve. Didn't notice in the text, a crown of righteousness. That's a noble award. And can I tell you something? You can't vote on whether I'm righteous or not. That's good news. You can argue over what suit you're going to let me wear when I'm put in the casket. Oh, but on my crown of righteousness, it's mine, earmarked with my name on it. Then finally, James says the crown of life. That's what James said, crown of life. Listen to what he said. He will receive the crown of life. That's the Christian's final reward in heaven.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when you look forward to him saying, servant,
well done.
Servant,
well done.
Servant,
well done.
That's what James is saying. Ain't got to make up nothing when you die.
Yeah.
May the works I've done speak. And we argue over how somebody had a funeral. As if the beautiful the funeral, the closer you make it in. Lie wrong. No. It ain't how I die. Is knowing that when I do die, God got me covered. I'm blood bought. I'm covered in his blood. And I'm dealing with my crown of life. You can go home today, sit at the dinner table, and say, I just don't think the pastor should have said that. I does not care. I'm telling you the honest truth. I am tired of babysitting. Teaching and preaching, and we still walking around blind and foolish. You got to live with your own decisions. Grow up. Get a grip on yourself. I ain't preaching to please y'all. I'm preaching so one day I hear him say, servant. It don't take much to preach black folk happy.
Yeah.
And to be truthful about it, I'm tired of happy churches.
Yeah.
Happy churches that ain't got no power. Just happy, just jumping around, just happy. Oh, the God be so good. Oh, thank you. And then got the audacity to roll the tongue out.
Yeah.
I'm serious. We got a problem.
Right.
A serious problem. And we wondering why the pandemic ain't getting gone. Because us ain't getting right. We can't get right. We got some foolishness going on. And it's deeper than a mask. I'm finished. Whew. Just play softly, dog. That's all. Whew. My heart has been heavy for a minute because we still ain't got it. Doors open. And we got excuses on why we can't come. But you go to four Food City stores. Not one. Four. Looking for cranberry sauce. Extra chickens. But can't come to the Lord's house. And here's the thing. Everybody up in here got masks on except me. In Walmart. They got the sign up and ain't nobody obeying it. But yet we go in. Something wrong. Something is wrong somewhere. Is your light shining? Is your light shining? What direction are our young folk going in? I mean, come on, y'all. We pull the trigger and kill each other like we fighting over property. We don't even own a stop sign in the city. Babies raising babies. Y'all wouldn't like me if I said, one of these Saturdays we got to hit the street. I just can't do that. That ain't my calling. Yes. Well, I want to know what is your calling.
Yeah. Yes.
If you're in a relationship with the Lord, what is your calling? Because if we can't reach out to bring about it, we don't need to meet with no city politicians.
No.
I'm sick of all that foolishness.
Yes.
What we need to do is get a grip of our personal relationship with the Lord and stand on a corner somewhere and say, baby, I need you to know, as short as that dress you got on and all the stuff you revealing, God still loves you. Okay. Doors of church are open. I want you to ask yourself the question, God, am I the best Christian I can be? That's a question every one of us. My.